Hey, a quick announcement before we get started.
Yeah, the listener tournament has begun. If you've registered to participate in our listener tournament, you should have received an email with information and instructions back on Thursday. Now, your answers are due by Monday, September 5th at 12 p.m. Pacific. So if you've registered and haven't received the info, please let us know ASAP. And again, only listeners who have registered with us back in June are eligible for this round of the listener tournament.
Thanks for listening and playing.
And here's a new episode.
Are you a real know-it-all? Do you annoy your family by shouting the answers while watching Jeopardy? Yes. Do you drive people crazy when you start a sentence with, well, actually? Well, guess what? You can go fact yourself. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Go Fact Yourself, the show where we quiz the smartest people we know and find out why they love what they love. I'm Helen Hong, and now from KPCC's Crawford Family Forum in Pasadena, California, in front of a live audience, here is our moderator, J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you, Helen Hong. Thank you, everybody. So wonderful to see you. Helen, as you and I think some of our listeners will know, during the pandemic times when we were recording on Zoom, something else happened in my life, which is that I became engaged to be married.
What?
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Positively glowing.
Oh, well, I'm also pregnant. So, no, I'm not. That was around Christmas time when the engagement happens. And it turns out that once you do that, you have to think about planning a wedding.
Yes, that's usually the course of events.
And I have never imagined what my wedding might be like because I thought, well, a wedding is a wedding is a wedding. Since that time.
How wrong you are.
Well, I'm a very dumb heterosexual man. Since that time, I've attended 3 weddings with my fiancé.
Oh.
And so you can't help but when you go to these weddings start to, you know, observe
Judge.
And notice. Yeah.
Judge
is a much more accurate way of saying it.
I can't believe they went with
For instance, one of the weddings we went to had a full suite of carnival rides.
Carnival rides?
Yeah, they had a dinner catered by a celebrity chef.
Wait, I'm still stuck on carnival rides.
Yeah, okay, we can go back to the carnival rides.
Are you talking about there was a Ferris wheel and like Disney teacups and stuff?
Yes. No, the Ferris wheel, it turns out, was part of the standard package. And then they added the Tilt-A-Whirl and the slide, magicians and fire
eaters. Are you sure you weren't at a children's birthday party?
It's quite possible that I was. Although those children were drinking a lot from that open bar.
Whoa! I have never been to a carnival ride wedding. I'm like jealous of this experience.
I should clarify that the wedding did not take place on a carnival ride. Like the wedding ceremony.
It wasn't like I do.
I would have enjoyed that.
Wow.
So it turns out there are options. I'm looking forward to having a full-on roller coaster at my wedding. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Do you think that you're leaning towards a carnival-themed wedding for yourself?
I don't. I think maybe a carnival-themed wedding night, but I don't know if we want to get into that right now.
Oh, kids.
Helen, today on Go Fact Yourself, 2 guests will compete to answer questions about facts they know, facts they might not know, and frankly, facts they should know. Plus, we'll meet actual experts on 2 very different topics, and finally, we'll declare one of our guests the winner of today's show. Let's get started and meet today's guest, Helen, who was up first.
She is an award-winning and best-selling poet, columnist, and activist whose work has been featured in the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, NPR, and more. It's Yessica Salgado!
Yessica Salgado!
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Yessica.
Yessica, first question out the gate. Have you ever been to a wedding where there was a Ferris wheel?
I've been to weddings that felt like we were on a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. Jessica, you are the author of 3 poetry books. You're a 2-time National Poetry Slam finalist. You're also a recipient of the 2020 International Latino Book Award in Poetry. Everybody.
I'm going to need you I'm going to record that voice clip and play it for my mom when she thinks.
I think you should use your outgoing voicemail.
Just whenever you call. Yeah. And that.
Hello, you've reached Yessica, the author of 3 poetry books, a 2-time National Poetry Slam finalist, and recipient of the 2020 International... I ran out of time. I'll try to do it quicker next time, Yessica. I'm terribly, terribly sorry.
Thank you.
Well, a common theme that I noticed in your work is the use of mangoes. And I was wondering if you could tell us more about what mangoes mean to you from your cultural background especially.
My family's from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And in our home property that my grandparents bought when they first got married is lined by mango trees. And so all of my memories of going to my parents' home country was about like picking these mangoes and like eating them. And sometimes I threw them at the cow so that they wouldn't like follow me because I was terrified. There's such a big part of my childhood and like going back home to my roots. And it's also what I call my followers on social media.
Yeah, that's the next part I was going to ask. Tell us about that, because when you were announcing that you were going to be on this show, you said, mangoes, come to the show. Yeah,
I don't like calling people followers because that means I'm leading them and that feels like a cult. Uh-huh. Although I feel like I could be a really good cult leader, I don't want to be. So it's mangoes, it's a familiar name. And whenever, like, are there any of my mangoes here?
Oh, look at the mangoes. So, we got mangoes.
Hi. So that's usually I that's my call out in a show.
Oh, I love that you have in the space of 1 minute you've taken a fruit and turned it into sustenance, a weapon, and also a fan base. Yeah. And now I feel like I need to do the same.
What are you gonna use, Helen?
Mission figs? Anyone? Any?
Where's Helen's mission figs? We got a mission fig over there.
My mission figs over here. Yeah.
Where are Helen's MFs? No, that might not work. I don't know if that's gonna work. Last one to ask about, we mentioned that you have had success as a slam poet, both nationally and then locally. You performed at Da Poetry Lounge.
Yes.
You may not know this. I have been a judge at a Da Poetry Lounge poetry slam before. Yes.
So the Poetry Lounge is my home venue. It's where I began performing. And I'm also part of the board now. So I've been there for 14 years. Whenever you were there, I was probably there too.
Oh, okay.
You just didn't see me because I was probably in the background.
Well, I went there and I just went to go and experience the slam, and they asked me if I wanted to be a judge. Yes. And I said, well, I've never been a judge. And they said, perfect.
Yes.
For those who don't know, a slam works is that someone will go up and perform a poem, and then the judges will hold up cards.
Oh, like an Olympic
Like an
judge?
Olympic thing. Like, no. Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, sorry.
0 to 10.
0 to 10.
Well, here's what's interesting about that, because they get very mad if it's anything less than maybe a 9.6, and I have what some would call a critical eye.
You're Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Like, if you were an Olympic judge, you would be Bulgaria. People are always like, oh, Bulgaria is so rough.
Yeah. Have you had experiences where, because it seemed to me like, okay, at first they were allowing me to sort of calibrate my scores.
Yes.
So that they could be more, you know, higher. But have you had experiences where people refuse to play along with that and give zeros and give low scores?
Oh, I've gotten a 2.4 before.
Outrageous!
So the whole point is that anybody at random judges you, it makes poetry for the people. And that was why Slam was created. And that's the fun of it. And so there's some science to it, but there's no science to it.
Right.
So that's the really fun part. Uh-huh. You want to beat up the poets afterwards.
Okay.
But, I mean, not the judges, but you don't, because
I think that kind of theory is going to fit in very well for this show.
Yes.
Where the scoring is done on a very similar basis, where nothing means anything. Thank you so much for joining us. Jessica Salgado, everybody. Helen, against whom will Jessica be competing?
He is a comedian who currently hosts the 51st season of The Price is Right on CBS and Drew Carey's Friday Night Freakout on Sirius XM Channel 21. It's Drew Carey!
Drew Carey!
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hello, Drew. Wonderful to see you.
Nice to see
you. Drew, are your fan base people named after a fruit as well?
No.
What are they called?
Drew Carey fans?
Drew Carey fans. Catchy. Drew, as Helen mentioned, you are currently hosting the 51st season of The Price is Right. It is your 15th season, which is very...
It's actually my 16th
season. It is your 16th season. Yes.
I just started 2 weeks ago doing... shows.
Unbelievable. Now, the last few, you've had to deal with different things because of the COVID pandemic.
Right.
How has the show changed for those who have not seen it recently?
Well, we don't have a full audience like we used to. And then for the 1 year, we just would screen people ahead of time. We'd bring out everybody from backstage. So it'd just be four people at a podium.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole season.
Yeah.
This will be the second season using these things. We call them pods.
Mm-hmm.
It's a table about this big. They look like bandstand tables, and four people behind each one, and people sit in twos and threes and fours behind those and get called down from their family or friends, whoever they came with. So it's a little better.
Okay. But you don't have like sort of the revival meeting style that
that's a lot of people ask me about that all the time, but we have to get buy-in from like the unions and the company that owns the building we're in. CBS, mm-hmm. us, about what rules there are. So there's a lot of people with say-so.
Yeah, but you're there to keep people safe and also to have joy and give away money.
Not just money, but furniture.
Yeah, prizes, yeah.
Furniture.
People joke about the furniture, but during COVID, if it was a new home office, people would go bananas.
Oh! Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you needed that.
A new computer, too.
How often is the big price wheel that spins? Because, you know, that's like, for me, the pièce de résistance. How often do they Lysol that?
We clean it all the time now.
Oh, good.
In the old days, before COVID, never.
Oh. Yeah, you did not want to go into that hot tub. Let me tell you something.
No.
I have touched it, that wheel, like when it was in the hall. I had business on that lot, and it was like when you weren't taping, and so it was just in the hallway, and I was like, oh my God, I have to touch it. So I touched it, and now I know why I had that rash.
That's why.
I was curious to see that despite you having done over 2,800 episodes, you're still about 4,000 behind Bob Barker.
I'll never catch up with that.
You don't think you'll catch up with him, huh?
No, sorry.
Okay.
He did 35 years. I was 50 when I started. He was 50 when he started.
Whoa.
I can't see myself at 85 still doing that. I mean, maybe. Like, TV is so much different. I don't know if TV is going to be the same. It might be just on a chip in your brain in 10 years, you know?
I mean, you'll be a hologram.
Yeah.
So then you might even go longer. Me.
They'll have to pay my hologram. I'll get something. I'll get a percentage.
Yeah.
I honestly worry about that. I'm like, why do they need me when they could just make a hologram of Bob or me and just have that on the show?
Don't say that.
Well, speaking of Bob Barker, you've said that Bob was very kind to you as you were transitioning into the role, and that the best advice he gave was to make the show your own.
Yeah, he said, don't try to copy me, just make the show your own. It was a threat.
That could sound threatening, though.
Yeah. He was holding me by the throat.
So were there decisions that you can remember that you felt like, okay, this is a Drew Carey decision. This is something that's making the show my own.
The first season, they were all like, stand here, say this, watch how Bob did it, do it like that. And it wasn't until like second season where I was like, they let me wander around a little bit.
Yeah.
I have to explain the rules correctly, and that's all I have to do.
But then you're off on your own.
Then I'm on my own,
great. Well, let's talk about this other show that you do, Friday Night Freakout. It is on Sirius XM.
Oh, you want to talk about that? Sure.
Yeah. Well, you told me you wanted
to. I love that show.
Oh, great. No, it's great. It's great.
I do a rock and roll radio show on Little Steven's Underground Garage on Sirius 21 every Friday night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
And they let me pick my own music. I get 3 hours to play and play whatever I want, as long as it's on format. I can't play anything I want. Mm-hmm. I've been on that station over like 12 years or 13 years or something.
Bob Barker's done another 20 that, but it's still very nice. Yeah.
I have to catch up with Wink Martindale now on the radio. And I just play whatever rock and roll I want, dance.
And you just like doing it because you're a music fan?
Yeah, I don't get any money or anything. Like, they couldn't pay me. Little Steven Van Zandt, he plays with Springsteen famously. Yeah. And when I first got the show, he called me up and he goes, oh, thanks. Welcome to the family and everything. And I said, I don't want any money, but one day I'm going to hit you up for Springsteen tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I got my Springsteen tickets off him one time, the very last show at the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got pit passes and I got backstage to meet Steven with my friends. Not Springsteen. He was in a separate thing. Greatest show. And then I'm going to hit him up for Springsteen tickets again. And that's all I'm doing. I'm doing it for Springsteen tickets.
Whoa.
Show business, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Well, it's a great show. I really enjoyed listening to it. And for people who aren't able to listen to it live, it's also available on the SiriusXM app or on
for stream. Yeah, you can stream it on the app. Yeah, they have a couple shows.
Last thing I wanted to ask is, Jessica, when you found out that you were going to be appearing on the show with Drew, you were particularly excited. Do you want to geek out for a little bit and get it out of your system now?
I was telling him, you know, the Drew Carey show would come on late at night, and the whole theme song has been playing in my head since like I found out we were going to be on the show together. And Mimi is a staple at our home. Like, our family know. Like, when I was telling my mom who you were, she was like, huh? I'm like, Mimi. And she was like, oh yes, that show. So yeah. But I'm a fan.
Thank you very much.
You're a mango for Drew Carey.
I'm a Drewy.
A Drewy. We got our name.
Oh, that's better.
Very nice. Well, thank you both so much for being here. Drew Carey, everybody, and Jessica Salgado. All right, Jessica and Drew, we ask each of you to provide us with a few topics outside your field of work in which you feel you have some expertise. Jessica, you said you know a lot about the movie Dirty Dancing, the TV show Sex and the City.
Of course.
And this follows Catholicism.
Wow, that really tracks. That really does track.
You know? Can't have one without the other. Whereas Drew, you said you know a lot about the movie The Producers, GarageBand Rock, and Cleveland. The Catholicism of the Midwest.
I like to think. Yeah. I like to think I know a lot about Cleveland.
Well, we'll find out. Later on, we're going to ask each of you some in-depth trivia questions about one of these topics. But first, we're going to get your thoughts on something you might know nothing about. It's time to split some hairs with our What's the Difference round. We'll have one question for each of you, each worth up to 2 points. If either of you gives an incorrect answer, the other person has a chance to steal. Your topic today, home plate. First up, Jessica. Jessica, your question comes from a listener. Who is it, Helen?
I will let them tell you themselves.
Is that because we have a listener recording?
No, Jake Heath. It's because we have a live in-person listener submission.
All right.
What?
Listeners, if you would like to submit a suggestion for our What's the Difference round, go to gofactyourpod.com and click on Get Involved. Okay, take it away, listener.
Hello, listener.
Hi, I'm Leora Saul from Los Angeles, and my question for What's the Difference is, while both might be a type of plate that you find in your home, what's the difference between ceramic and porcelain?
Leora Saul, thank you so much for being here, Leora. All right, Jessica, you heard the question from Leora. What is the difference between ceramic and porcelain?
I think porcelain is more expensive, and it's considered like a collector's item or like passed along generations.
Passed along generations. Yes. Yeah, with that ceramic, you're just going to throw that away the first chance you get. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Jessica's answer. We don't know yet if she's entirely correct. Drew, if you don't think she's got it just right, you can steal. What do you think?
Isn't ceramic a type of like clay pot, and porcelain is more like a glass, doesn't have any clay in it?
Doesn't have any clay in it. All
Something
right.
Something like that.
Well, if you want to get technical.
Well, that kind of is what we want to do, Jessica. I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear before. All right, this segment needs to be thrown on the floor at a Greek restaurant. Let's go to Helen Hong at the judges' table for the facts.
Here are the facts. Ceramic is a term for an object made from any clay, which has been fired at any temperature in a kiln. Porcelain is a specific type of ceramic that is made from specific white clays and is kiln-fired at a very high temperature. This gives porcelain a white color unless it's painted or stained, and a very smooth, non-porous, glassy surface. Porcelain is also translucent. Unlike brown, red, or black ceramics, light can pass through porcelain.
That's right. Now, if you flick your fingernail on real porcelain, it will ring with a bell-like sound, unlike other ceramics, which will make kind of a clunk sound. And if you flick me with your fingernail, I will make an ouch sound. Helen, how did our guest do?
I don't suggest that.
Nope.
Drew Carey, I think you got 1 point.
1 point for Drew Carey, all right. Well, up next in home plate is Drew. Drew, while they both take place at home plate, in baseball, what's the difference between a plate appearance and an at-bat? A plate appearance and an at-bat.
Man, are you kidding me?
And apparently I need to specify, we are looking for the technical differences.
Yes. Yeah. I think an at-bat is when you are actually at the plate and you swing at a ball that's pitched to you. Mm-hmm. So you have an at-bat. And a plate appearance, I think if you just go up there and they walk you or something like that, They don't count that as an at-bat. They just count it as a plate appearance.
All right. We've got Drew's answer. We don't know yet if he's entirely correct. Jessica, what do you think?
I'm probably not.
Not with that attitude.
I'm just taking a guess.
Sure.
Let's just say, to go different from Drew, if you try to slide into home plate, but you don't, you're out.
You try to slide into home plate.
But you're out.
Yes. Yeah. You've appeared at the plate.
You've appeared, but it doesn't count.
But it doesn't count.
Kind of like me here.
No, oh, could you? No.
It
can
counts.
I change my answer?
I don't believe so, but what would you have changed it to?
A plate appearance is when you father the baby but don't pay child support.
Okay, this segment is striking out. Let's go to Helen Hong at the judges' table for the facts.
Here are the facts. Both at-bats and plate appearances are ways of keeping track of what a batter did at the plate. It's a plate appearance every time you finish batting, no matter what the result. Most plate appearances are also at-bats. Whether your turn at-bat results in a home run, a strikeout, or a single, or almost any other scenario in which you are out or safe on base. But the real difference is if you reach base without hitting the ball, like you draw a walk or get hit by a pitch, then that's counted only as a plate appearance and not an at-bat.
That's right. There are a few other batting results that count as plate appearances and not as at-bats, like the rare catcher's interference or the common sacrifice flies. By the way, you also sacrifice flies if you feed them to your pet frog. Helen, how did our guest do?
I think Drew got a point and a half.
I said walk.
Yeah, 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 I'll give you 2 points. You
really? Know, okay, 2 points for Drew. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is our score at the end of that round?
At the end of that round, Jessica Salgado has 0 points, and Drew Carey has 3 points.
But those scores are bound to change as we move on to questions about topics our guests have chosen for themselves. That's all up ahead when we come back on Go Fact Yourself. Let's talk about meat, baby. Let's talk about M-E-A-T. Helen. That very unfortunate cover, which I'm hoping does not get flagged by people looking
Amazing.
To get paid, is all my subtle way of saying how excited I am to talk about meat, and especially meat from our sponsor, ButcherBox.
I'm impressed by your musicianship and your ability to do what you just did, whatever
well,
that was.
Keep those standards nice and low. Unlike the standards that are held very high by our sponsor, ButcherBox, because high quality meat, high quality meals, that is what you get from ButcherBox. They take the guesswork out of finding high quality meat and seafood with 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood.
Choose from a variety of box plan options from curated to customize and change your plan whenever you want. Recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks. Some are even personalized so you can cook up mouth-watering meals.
What I love about ButcherBox not only is the quality, but the variety. You know, sure, I try things that I've tried before. I know how to make a nice pork chop. I know how to make a nice simple steak. But they put in things like chicken wings, and I'm not a wing guy. I don't know how to put this thing together. Mm. They have these easy instructions. It now is my favorite ButcherBox thing are the wings that you can make.
Oh.
So easy. It is high quality stuff. And, you know, getting that high quality meat, you don't always know what you're going to get from the grocery store, but you know what you're going to get from ButcherBox, and what you're going to get is quality. And Helen, speaking of chicken, my God, they've got free chicken now?
What? Yes, take chicken breasts off your grocery list. ButcherBox is offering our listeners an incredible deal that they've never offered before. Free chicken for a year.
Bok, bok.
Get 2 pounds of free-range organic chicken breasts for free in every order when you sign up at butcherbox.com/gofact and use code GOFACT. That's butcherbox.com/gofact and use code GOFACT.
Thank you, ButcherBox.
Bok, bok.
This week, Greatest Discovery becomes Greatest Trek.
That's because Greatest Trek is for way more than just Discovery.
We renamed our hit show that's on Maximum Fun, covering all the new Star Trek shows, Lower Decks, Strange New Worlds, Picard, Prodigy, Discovery, and any other new Star Trek show Paramount throws at us.
Come find out why we're the most important Star Trek podcast on the internet with our funny, informative recaps of all the new Star Trek shows that Paramount keeps churning out.
Subscribe to Greatest Trek. It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation.
Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself with our guests, Jessica Salgado and Drew Carey. Once again, here's J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you so much, Helen. Thank you, everybody. All right, Jessica, of your many interests, you told us you know a lot about the movie Dirty Dancing, the TV show Sex and the City, and Catholicism. Let's find out a little bit more about each of those. First, tell us what the movie Dirty Dancing means to you.
My sisters and I taped it on VHS for the kids that don't know what VHS is. It was before DVDs. Mm-hmm. And we would watch it over and over. And then for one of my birthdays, I was gifted from Billy Crystal, a family friend, tickets to go see the musical, Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
And it's just always
Wait,
been my favorite
Billy
film.
Wait, Billy Crystal is a family friend?
Yes.
I love that you just
nice
slid
drop.
That in,
yeah.
Like,
I mean,
all low-key.
I was going to say, I got, and then I'm like, but no, it was like really special because yeah. It was a birthday present from his family. And it's also like what I watch when I'm like sad and
was
nobody
the,
puts baby
was
in the
corner. Live musical as good as the movie?
It got weird. It got weird. It was good. It was very good. I really enjoyed it, but it was stuff that wasn't in the movie. And like at a young age, you don't understand that things are different in musicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're sticking with the movie as your prime
category.
All right. You also said you know a lot about the TV show Sex and the City.
Yes. I tour a lot for book tours, and it's the show that I put on in whatever hotel I'm in to keep me company because all the voices sound familiar.
Okay.
And I've watched all the episodes so many times. So it's like, oh yeah, Carrie's being Carrie again and all that, you know.
She does tend to do that, doesn't she?
You know.
Not Carrie.
Do people ask you, like, which character would you be?
I mean, I'm Carrie.
I have a
dating and romance column.
Yes.
You got the necklace with your name on it that she used to have. Yeah.
Have you ever taken the official internet quiz to find out which character?
Yeah, I don't go. No.
Drew's a Samantha, let's face
it. Yeah, let's be honest. I took it. I'm the bus that goes by at the beginning. all right. And then finally.
I'm the gay best friend.
Yeah. And then finally, Jessica, you said you know a lot about Catholicism.
It was part of the colonization. And so that's how that came introduced into us. And then at 14, I announced I wanted to be a nun.
Uh-huh.
I was at church every single day except Wednesdays. I don't know why I wasn't there on Wednesdays, but I was at church.
Well, even
every
God
day.
Rested one day from what I understand.
I think the priest would be like, go home.
Whoa.
You're cramping my style.
But I really,
And what was it that got you off Catholicism? Was it Dirty Dancing or Sex in the City?
It was both.
It was both.
I did a lot of Dirty Dancing in the City.
Indeed. All right. So to summarize, Jessica, you said you know a lot about the movie Dirty Dancing, the TV show Sex in the City, and Catholicism. Today we're going to quiz you about the movie Dirty Dancing.
Beautiful.
I am so excited.
Sorry to disappoint you all, you Catholicism heads. when is the last time you think you saw the movie?
Sometime during lockdown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a good comfort movie for that time.
It's so good.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene or a favorite line?
My favorite scene is in the cabin when she gives him the speech and then she goes, and most of all, I'm scared of leaving this room and never feeling again the way I feel like when I'm with you. I'm a poet, so.
Yeah, okay. You appreciate the poetry.
I got chills.
A baby.
Just saying it.
Great. Well, just ahead, we're going to enlist the help of a bona fide expert in your topic, Jessica, to test your mastery with our expert level question worth up to 3 points. But before that, to let you show your love, here are 5 trivia questions about the topic, each worth 1 point. Now, if you want it, you're allowed a hint for any 2 of these 5 questions. Now, Drew, do listen closely, because if Jessica gets any of these wrong, you can steal. By the way, Drew, how much do you know about the movie Dirty Dancing?
It's given me so many times in my life.
And you've never felt like that before?
Before, no.
Yes, all right.
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But now I do, and I appreciate it all the more.
And he owes all to you.
All right. Here is question number 1. Dirty Dancing features dancers from many different backgrounds. For example, there's Penny, who people in the film say used to dance with what famous high-kicking troupe from Radio City Music Hall?
The Rockettes.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct for the point. You're on your way. In fact, not all former Rockettes stick with dancing. Heather Ann Bottom, for instance, became a systems engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory right nearby, working on the Mars mission. The Mars mission, by the way, was a topic on episode 84 of Go Fact Yourself. All right, here's question number 2. Drew might have given you a little bit of help on this one. Dirty Dancing didn't just do well at the box office, it also won an Academy Award. For what duet did the movie win the Oscar for Best Original Song?
Time of My Life.
Helen?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
All right, yes, I've had the time of my life. But yes, very good. Fun fact, that song also won a Golden Globe, a Grammy, and was a number 1 hit on the Billboard charts. There was, by the way, a proper theme song written for the movie called Dirty Dancing, which was not used, but did end up being included in the pilot of Baywatch.
Huh?
And that is a fun fact I believe you will only get on our show. You did not ask for the hint in that, unfortunately, but Helen, what would that hint have been? Helen Hong, ladies and gentlemen.
Jake Van Stratton, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Thank you.
Taking the soprano.
I was hoping that Helen would jump off the stage.
We're only on question number 2, Jessica. We got a long way to go.
You were hoping that Jake Heath would leap into my arms.
I'm wondering how much money that just cost.
Yeah. Well, if it makes the final cut, you'll know not a lot. All right, you're 2 for 2. Jessica, here's question number 3. I have a feeling you might be familiar with this scene. During a vulnerable moment with Patrick Swayze's Johnny, Jennifer Grey's baby confesses that she's scared of everything and then lists some specifics. But which of the following is not one of the things that she said she's scared of? Is it what I saw, what I heard, what I did, who I am, or walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you?
Who I am.
Helen?
That is not correct.
No, I'm terribly sorry. Drew, with a chance to steal.
Pope Pius III. I'm positive.
Drew, do you have a guess of the remaining choices?
Say again?
Is it what I saw, what I heard, what I did, who I am, or walking out of this room and never feeling
what
the rest
I saw.
Of my... Ellen?
That is not correct.
No!
What I did.
No, I'm sorry, only one guess, and yet that's also wrong. No, it's what I heard. She did not say what I heard, so no point there for either of you. By the way, the fear of walking is called ambulophobia. The fear of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you is, I'm guessing, called Johnny Castle phobia. All right, no point there. Let's see if you can bounce back with this one question, okay. Number 4. You do have your hints available if
yes.
You'd like them. Here we go. Speaking of Johnny and baby, perhaps the most famous line in the movie is, "Nobody puts baby in the corner." But the line might not have been as memorable if Johnny had said this line using her full proper name. That's because baby's real first and last name is what?
Frances Hauser.
Helen?
Close enough. I'll give it to you.
All right. You get the point. Very good. Frances Hausman.
Hausman. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Hausman.
Yeah. I think the line would have been a little different if he had said, "Nobody puts Frances Hausman in a corner." Fun fact, Patrick Swayze hated saying that line, which was later named by the American Film Institute as one of the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time.
He really sold it, didn't he?
He really did. Yeah. He was acting.
I mean.
Well, trivia too is that he looks upset in the scene, mm-hmm. and it's because it was like some number of take
right.
of the scene, and he was like fed up with it already.
Yeah,
really.
And also, baby was not in a corner in that scene. She was clearly up against a flat wall with nothing to the other.
I mean, there was a plant or something.
Yeah,
right.
But come on, nobody puts baby near a plant.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Nobody puts Frances Hausman near a plant.
Yes,
it's just not the same.
Moving up that AFI list with that one. Yeah. All right, Jessica, here is question number 5. Dirty Dancing was released in 1987, but it was re-released in theaters in 1997, largely due to the effort of a comedian who inspired fans to place over 80,000 phone calls to the distributor until it relented. What comedian was it?
Wow, I have no idea, so I'll take a hint.
Helen, how about that hint?
At the time, he hosted Late Night on NBC. Later, he hosted The Tonight Show. And Drew Carey has been his guest on both.
Jay Leno?
Helen?
That is not correct.
No, I'm terribly sorry. Drew Carey with a chance to steal.
He hosted Late Night.
At the time, he hosted Late Night.
And then later on, he hosted The Tonight Show.
Conan O'Brien?
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. A successful steal from Drew Carey. Sorry, Jessica.
It's okay.
You still did quite well in that round.
Thank you.
Fun fact, Conan had threatened to fire his show's trombonist if the studio did not re-release the film. That re-release made Dirty Dancing another $500,000 at the box office. Yeah, that was a tough one, though. All right.
That trombonist was sweating.
Yeah, for real. All right, Jessica, you still did quite well in that round, but now here is your expert-level question that requires multiple answers. It is time for your cluster fact.
Oh, nice.
We'll be bringing on an expert to discuss your response. Jessica, one of the small but pivotal roles in the film is that of Mo Pressman's wife, who has the hots for Johnny, gets caught sleeping with Robbie, and falsely accuses Johnny of stealing a wallet. For up to 3 points, what was the character of Mrs. Pressman's first name? When we first meet her, what term was used to describe her, followed by the line, "That's what we call the women who stay here all week, the husbands only come up on weekends"? And what additional behind-the-scenes job did the actor who played her have on the film working alongside Kenny Ortega?
I think I only know one of the three.
That's
does
all right.
This come with a
audience,
hint?
Please, very quiet. Let her figure it out.
A cabin bunny.
A cabin bunny, okay.
And that's all I got for you for right now.
Can't quite pull the name. Okay, and then do you want to take a guess? Do you want to
just take a guess? She was hot, I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. do you want to take a guess at what job she had behind the scenes working with Kenny Ortega, alongside Kenny Ortega?
Choreographer?
Okay.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
I'll stick with that.
It'll, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Helen is taking note of your answers. We have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure. Helen, who do we have tonight?
Joining us tonight via Zoom is an accomplished actor, dancer, and choreographer whose work includes starring as Mrs. Pressman and working as assistant choreographer in Dirty Dancing. It's Miranda Garrison.
Hello, Miranda Garrison.
Hello, Miranda.
We're happy to have you join us. Thank you for being here, Miranda.
I'm delighted. I'm so excited.
Well, in addition to your work on Dirty Dancing, which we'll talk about in a moment, you were, of course, an accomplished dancer and teacher. Among your many films that you've worked on, you worked on Xanadu with Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John.
What?
Wow. You were the choreographer for the movie Selena with Jennifer Lopez.
Wow. What?
And you worked on a couple of movies that I'd forgotten actually had amazing choreography. You don't think of them, which are the Naked Gun movies.
My favorite employer, the Zucker Brothers.
Yes, and you actually said that that was the most fun you've had, was the Naked Gun movies. Tell us about that.
They're so great, the Zucker Brothers. They let me come into their trailer, and they said, pitch us an idea. And I said, I've always wanted to throw the diva into the orchestra pit head first, have the gay background dancers take a bow, and have the diva climb up like wooden Liza with a tuba on her head. And I got to do it.
And you got to do it. Dreams come true. And that was Pia Zadora, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the wonderful Pia Zadora, and what a good sport she was.
Yeah. Yes. Well, let's talk about Xanadu for a second. As everyone knows, we recently lost Olivia Newton-John. I'm so sorry. I know that you work closely with her. What can you tell us about her? What are some of your memories of working with Olivia Newton-John on Xanadu?
Olivia Newton-John was the sweetest, most down-to-earth, all-inclusive human being that you could work with. And she wanted to make sure that all of the dancers, the extras, and everybody were well cared for. There wasn't a diva bone in her body. Mm. A class act and a true lady and wonderful talent.
That's wonderful to hear. And I'm sorry for your loss. Obviously, it means more to you than it did just for us. But of course, watching her, we all felt like we knew her. All right, well, let's talk about Dirty Dancing. You kind of got the part by default. Tell us about how you ended up in the movie.
I got the part by default. I just came on board as assistant choreographer to Kenny Ortega. And while we were there, the original woman playing the mother had some sort of low blood sugar problem and wanted us to find her fresh fish out of the lake. Somehow it didn't work out. The role of the mother was empty. Kelly Bishop looked at the better role of the mother and thought, okay, producers, I'll take the role of the mother. And so Kenny turned to me. And from day one, Kenny's a visionary. And he had even told me, you're going to end up playing this role. And I said, oh my God, you're crazy. Well, sure enough, I went to my cabin, still not believing it. Crack of dawn, Kenny Ortega, Cindy Rhodes, and Patrick Swayze banging on my doors to wake me up with my margarita pitcher.
What?
Hugged me to hair and makeup, dolled me up as Vivian, and I shot my first scene that day.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And it's all because of fresh fish?
All because of fresh fish. Absolutely.
What? Fresh fish should be your favorite dish every day.
Well, unfortunately, I cannot lie. Mangoes would be my favorite food.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Let's talk a little bit about the choreography. You did work alongside Kenny Ortega as the chief choreographer in Dirty Dancing. What was the scene that was the most challenging to choreograph from the movie?
I think the most challenging part, because Kenny and I in junior high school were like those junior high school kids that did groove social dancing. So we had that. Patrick Swayze, not true. He was a highly trained ballet dancer. Mm-hmm. So to get Patrick to do those partner dances and get off his toes was the biggest challenge.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa.
To literally get down.
Yes. Yeah. And he kind of overdid the frame. You know, we made kind of a metaphor of the frame. Wonderful director, Emil Ardolino, rest in peace. He used that throughout, plus the lift of Baby throughout. And Patrick, of course, can lift a woman. But it was that ballet carriage that we tried to get him more low and groovy and funky and street.
And you did.
Wow. Thank you.
We talked about I've Had the Time of My Life, and that song obviously played a big part in the movie. You were actually there when that song was chosen to be the big finale.
Yes, I was in a rehearsal room with the great Kenny Ortega, and they brought a paper bag with cassettes. Can you imagine? And we'd listen to a lot of music. Ha-ha. He puts it on, and all of a sudden, I had the time, and my body just rose. I floated to the middle of the rehearsal dance space and I started spinning as though I were channeling the gods, and Kenny went, I think that's our song.
What did you think of me and Jay Keith's rendition?
Yeah, did you have a chance to hear that?
Yeah. Did you hear us humming it?
I think we got to do it again, Helen.
We really
can't. No. You're I don't want you to hang up.
You know what? You didn't miss much.
Yeah,
No. Honestly, you need to take cred for it because it had that populist version.
Yes.
It was the dance of the people.
I always said I have a voice of the people.
And
of certain animals.
That is the nicest put down I have ever received.
I did a
populist version, guys.
Yeah. Miranda, you mentioned that nobody expected it to be a hit. I actually looked this up. A week from tonight will be 35 years since the original release of the movie. Was there a moment where you realized, oh, this is actually a thing? People are really going to see me and my work.
Yes. They weren't even going to release it, I believe, is some of the story. They finally did in like kind of a quiet release. It was actually a lot of women that saw the movie and word of mouth that brought it. It got so big at a certain point, I think a lot of us in the movie started feeling we almost had nothing to do with it. It started being its own monster in a way. But it was the moment that my sister, who's lived a normal 9-to-5 kind of job her whole life, and she said, "You're my sister. You're in Hollywood. You're used to these kind of things. But I must ask you, do you think if I'd been on that hill in that summer in Johnny Castle's arms, I could have done the dance at the Sheldrake?" And she started crying. And that's when I knew we hit on something. Wow. It has pathos and joy. It's corny, but it's human.
I watched it at a very young age. And like Jessica, I was raised in a very religious family. And I think it was one of the movies that made me not religious anymore.
My goodness. Well, you know what? It's actually quite a morality play.
Absolutely.
My farmer father up in Oregon, though, I have to admit, when he says, "I don't know, you're down in the snake pit of Hollywood working on some damn movie," he says, "What's it called?" And I said, "Well, Dad, it's called Summer Dancing." Because at the time, Dirty Dancing wasn't the catchword that it is now. So it sounded like it could have had a shade of porno to it.
Yeah, I think that was wise. All right, well, let's get to the reason that we brought you here as far as our game is concerned. You heard the question that we asked of Jessica. First, we wanted to know, what was the character of Mrs. Pressman's first name? Helen, what did Jessica say?
Jessica couldn't pull a name for that.
No, I'm terribly sorry, but what was your character's name we know now?
My character's name was Vivian Pressman.
Vivian was the name we were looking for. I'm sorry, no point there. I think it was in your brain, just didn't
It was somewhere in there.
Yeah, didn't quite make it out. That's all right. Next, we wanted to know, what was the term that was used to describe Vivian, followed by the line, "That's what we call the women who stay here all week. The husbands come up only on weekends." Helen, what did Jessica say?
Jessica said cabin bunny.
Miranda?
Close, but no cigar. Bungalow bunny.
Bungalow bunny. Yes. Would you like to give her a half point for that or a full point? It's up to you.
I'm going to give her, can I give her a full point?
You can. You're the judge.
Because
the audience is applauding. I think they like that idea.
And I just want to say I love your poetry so much. The full point for your gorgeous poetry makes me very happy.
Thank you so much. And you are still as stunning as you were in the film. Like, you're a smoke show.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if that encourages Miranda to give you a point for this one. We also wanted to know, what additional behind-the-scenes job did the actor who played Mrs. Pressman have on the film working alongside Kenny Ortega? Helen, what did Jessica say?
Jessica said choreographer.
And Miranda?
I believe she stuttered assistant choreographer, and that's a fine distinction. I was assistant choreographer to Kenny Ortega.
So what do you want to do points-wise?
Give her a point.
Give her the full point. Very good.
Thank you.
Well, besides saying thank you, while we have our expert here, Jessica, is there anything you'd like to ask or say of Miranda Garrison?
It's an honor to meet you, and thank you for keeping me company through many, many years. Dirty Dancing is a film that I go back to every time that I'm very sad, and it makes me very happy, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's
and
fair.
I'm not going to cry. I'm a crier.
You're welcome
cry
to cry.
Everything.
I'm not going to lie. We kind of like crying, but no pressure.
Okay.
No pressure. No.
I'll leave it there.
It must be wonderful to hear that from so many people around the world for so many years. Miranda, it's wonderful that you joined us. If people want to find out more about you or your work, where can they do that?
Well, I think the easiest thing, honestly, it sounds kind of trite, but Google it, because I'm just all over the internet. IMDb gives a list of a 40-year career of acting, dancing, and a lot of choreography. And check it out.
Check it out indeed. We're so happy that you stopped by. Thank you for joining us, Miranda Garrison, everybody.
Thank you.
Look at that smile. We love it. All right, Helen, what is our score at the end of that exciting round?
At the end of that round, Jessica Salgado has 4 points, and Drew Carey has 4 points, with a round of questions for Drew coming up.
That's right. We're going to talk with Drew about a topic he knows about. Plus, later, Jessica and Drew will go head-to-head in our Fast Facts round, all to find a winner on Go Fact Yourself.
Hey, if you're listening to this, it probably means you like our show.
And maybe you want to help us out?
Well, we've got a great way to help us out, writing a review.
Reviews are a great way to help people find the show, and it makes us feel good to read them.
Yeah, I'll admit, I read every review, and it makes me feel good in my little heart. Plus, we read a 5-star review on each episode, and you know what? We're running out of ones to read.
So please, whether you use Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, CastBox, or any other podcast platform that lets you rate and review, take a minute now to mark those 5 stars and let people know why you love what you love.
Hey, that's kind of our slogan.
And we might even read your name and review on an upcoming episode.
Oh, and by the way, if you happen to be the person who uses the name Fixbutch, P-H-X-B-U-T-C-H, you wrote us a great review. Thank you. But, well, your words are great, but you gave us 1 star? I'm guessing maybe that was an accident. So maybe you could go back and fix it. Or do you enjoy the chaos? Either way,
thank you, listeners who write reviews.
Bok, bok.
Hey there, it's Annabelle Gurwitch.
And I'm Lara House. We host Tiny Victories, the 15-minute podcast that's about the little things.
Getting into the tiny victory frame of mind is about recognizing minor accomplishments and fleeting joys.
Isn't it a wonderful day when the first password you try actually works?
When it's freezing cold outside and toasty as all get out in my shower, my tiny victory is that I turn off the water and get on with my day.
We can't change this big dumb world, but we can celebrate the tiny wins.
So join us on Maximum Fun or wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get tiny!
Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself with our guests Jessica Salgado and Drew Carey. Once again, here's J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you so much, Helen. Thank you, everybody. All right, Drew, of your many interests, you told us you know a lot about the movie The Producers, GarageBand Rock, and Cleveland. Let's find out a little bit more about each of those. First, tell us what the movie The Producers means to you.
It's hard to pick a favorite comedy of all time, but that's the one I've seen the most of all the comedy movies that I love. I pretty much can recite every scene. I can mouth the words along with it. It's one of the funniest, best comedy movies ever made.
All right, great. Well, Drew, you also said you know a lot about GarageBand Rock.
Well, I host a show on Little Steven's Underground Garage, so...
Is that Channel 21 on Sirius XM?
Yes. Okay. So it's like the backbone of rock and roll. It's like the mid-60s era of rock and roll is when everything just exploded. There's so much to love about it if you're a rock and roll fan. So yeah, it's the best.
All right. And finally, you said you know a lot about Cleveland.
Yeah, I grew up there and moved.
Okay. Is that all that one needs to know about Cleveland?
No. No, I've always loved Cleveland, and I always had a chip on my shoulder about it, about people making fun of it. So when I was growing up, I'd watch Johnny Carson, and he would make Cleveland jokes, and you know, the river caught on fire and all this stuff. So I took pride in the fact that I loved the city more than anybody else and saw it in a good light and know more good things about Cleveland than the average bear.
I know nothing about Cleveland. Is it?
It's in Ohio.
Okay. Your journey begins, Helen. Yes. Was that appreciated? Do the people of Cleveland appreciate that you've become kind of an ambassador for the city?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I got a key to the city and all that stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Do you go back ever?
I do go back. I still own a house back there. I own the house I grew up in. I go back to I was just back there like a month ago.
Oh, very cool.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Well, to summarize, Drew, you said you know a lot about the movie The Producers, GarageBand Rock, and Cleveland. Today we're going to quiz you about GarageBand Rock.
Uh-oh. I'm going to embarrass the whole station. Sorry, I apologize to Little Steven.
No. This is about celebrating what you love. That's all there is.
Sure, I apologize to Little Steven ahead of time.
Okay, very good. Very good. I'm sure he listens. So first of all, how do you define GarageBand Rock? Because the term wasn't really coined until the 80s to describe a whole bunch of stuff that took place before that.
Yeah, I think it was Lenny Kaye came out with a CD set and a collection of songs. And the term was coined later. So it's the fuzz tone, it's really simple. There's not a lot of overproduction in it. Mid-60s, for sure. That's all you need to know.
And who were some of your favorite bands from that genre?
The Knickerbockers, the Kinks are kind of mod. Yeah, see, I'm blanking already.
That's right.
This has nothing to do with the video game.
No, nothing at all to do with the GarageBand.
No.
And I'll be honest, I thought that's what it was. And I was like, oh, I'm like, Drew's so cool. I mean, you're so cool, but...
Just ahead, we're going to enlist the help of an expert on your topic, Drew. But before that, to give you a chance to show off, here are five trivia questions about it, each worth 1 point. Now, if you want it, you're allowed a total of 2 hints among these 5 questions. Now, Jessica, do listen closely because you can steal if Drew gets any of them wrong. Jessica, if I have to ask, how much do you know about GarageBand Rock?
I thought it was a game.
Okay.
Girl, me too. That's why I asked. Me too. I'm with you.
All right, Drew. I don't know if that makes it more pressure on you or less pressure on you, but here we go. Question number one. Drew, just because you start out playing loud rock and roll in a garage doesn't mean you can't have a long career with other styles of music. Take the lead singer of the band Them, who had a hit with the garage rock classic Gloria, but later had even bigger hits with the more mellow Domino,
Van Morrison,
Tupelo Honey, and Van Morrison. Brown-Eyed Girl.
Van
who
Morrison.
Was this singer and songwriter of Gloria?
Van Morrison.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Van Morrison.
Helen?
I'm sorry, what was it? That is correct.
That is correct for the point. Very good, Van Morrison. Fun fact, Them's version of Gloria reached number 75 on the Billboard charts. The cover by Shadows of Night made it to number 10. Interestingly, both versions of the song were on the charts at the same time in 1966.
That happened a lot back then, yeah. By the way.
People would hear a cover and then, whoa, what was the original? And then they
a month later, they put it up. Yeah. I just played the Doors version of it on my show last Friday.
Oh, how about that? Very good.
Can I give the hint?
Oh, yes. You did not ask for the hint, but Helen, what would that hint have been?
It rhymes with Blam Blorison. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It sure does.
I'm telling you, my joke, my hints are fire.
Your hints are fire. All right. What are we doing? Oh, let's play the game. Here's question number two, Drew. The Trashmen were from Minnesota, which is about as far away from a coastline as you can get.
Surfing bird.
But it's...
Settle down.
Based on Papa Umamau by the Rivingtons.
Do you have somewhere to be? Like, do you need to... Helen?
Wait, you're not going to ask the question?
All right, fine.
There wasn't a question.
Inspired by the music of folks like Dick Dale, the Beach Boys, and Jan and Dean, the Trashmen had a huge hit about what kind of sporty bird?
Surfing.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. It's surfing bird. Very good.
Surfing bird, I think, is actually the middle finger. I think that's what's
like to flip the bird.
Yeah, flip the, that's the surfing bird. And the original song with Papa Umamau is by the Rivingtons. And if you really like that, like doo-wop kind of music, the Rivingtons really do the killer version of the Papa Umamau song.
Well, this might be a bit of a letdown, but the fun fact is the lead singer of the Trashmen was originally listed on the record as the song's composer, but was changed after the band, the Rivingtons, threatened to sue for plagiarism, which makes sense because the Trashmen had indeed completely plagiarized the song by combining two different songs by the Rivingtons.
Yes. Thank you.
Drew Carey, everybody. All right. All right, here's question number three. Let's see if I get to finish this one.
Sorry.
Not at all. That's just fun. Sorry. Drew, one garage rock band hit the Billboard Hot 100 four times, but are best remembered for a weepy hit song from 1966. On an alphabetical list, this band usually appears first or last because the band's name does not begin with a letter, but with a punctuation mark. What is this Michigan-based band?
Question mark and the Mysterians.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct for another point.
Wow.
Fun fact, their big weepy hit was?
96 Tears, also a great version by Big Mabel. Of that song, too.
Yep. Fun fact, their big weepy hit was 96 Tears. The question mark in Question Mark and the Mysterians is Rudy Martinez, and according to Rolling Stone, he and his bandmates were the first Mexican-American band to have a number one hit on the Billboard charts.
Wow.
All right, Drew, you're 3 for 3. Here's question number 4. Garage band rock wasn't just popular in the 1960s, wasn't just popular in America, and wasn't just made by men. In the late 1970s, an all-female group struggled to chart in the U.S., but were a gigantic hit in Japan, where they regularly sold out concerts, had a TV special, and recorded a live album. The group regained popularity recently as one of their songs was featured in a Marvel movie. What is the name of this group and song?
Can I get a hint, please?
Oh, now he wants a hint. Helen, how about that first hint?
The band name is a word that comes before the movie titles Train, Jury, and Bride.
The song is what you call a small spherical firecracker.
Oh, Cherry Bomb is the name of the song, mm-hmm. and it's The Runaways.
Ellen?
That is correct.
That is correct, Drew Carey. Excellent use of the hints.
That's, you know, I was going to say The Runaways, but you threw me by saying they weren't a hit in America and had to go to Japan.
Well, they struggled to chart in the U.S.
Right.
At the time.
Okay, there you go. Yet. Okay, that threw me off a little bit.
Okay, well, that's a number four. We're trying to throw you off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew, you were 4 for 4. You have a chance to go 5 for 5 if you can get this question correct. The word wait appears 43 times in the song Time Won't Let Me by The Outsiders. Don't make us wait. Tell us, what was the hometown of The Outsiders?
I want to say Mansfield, Ohio, but let me get the hint, please.
Ellen, how about that second hint?
It's another one of your topics, and I hear this place rocks.
Cleveland.
Ellen?
That is correct.
That is correct. Drew Carey is 5 for 5. You obviously did very well in that round, but now here is your expert level question that requires multiple answers. It is time for your cluster fact. We'll be bringing on an expert to discuss your response. Drew, some have argued that the quintessential garage band rock song is in fact the most recorded song of all time, with hundreds of cover versions spanning several decades. In fact, its most famous recording is also a cover, first released in 1963. Listen to this clip of the iconic intro of the song, and we'll ask you your questions. All right, for up to 3 points. First, what is the name of that song? Next, what band's recording of the song was a #2 Billboard hit and inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame? And finally, what other garage rock influenced band did one of the members of this band produce a record for in 1970?
Oh boy, that third one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Louie Louie, and it is by... That version of Louie Louie is a band from the Pacific Northwest. They did it all in one take. And I'll give you some facts about the recording of Louie Louie.
Okay. Eventually, if you want to get to the name of the band, that one might be helpful. But
I'll get to it.
Yeah.
It was investigated by the FBI, by the way,
what?
Because it was considered a subversive song because they couldn't understand the lyrics. 53 seconds in, if you listen really closely, or 56 seconds in, the drummer drops a stick and yells out the F word. And once you hear it, you can never unhear it.
I need to, somebody play it right now.
And then the drummer has to bring the singer in because the singer comes in the wrong place. And they did it in one take. So he just brings
him in. And who is they?
So the song is Louie Louie, of course. And it's like test anxiety.
That's fine.
I obviously know who it is.
Okay, and then what was the band?
I'm just blanking.
And then what was the band that was later produced by a member of that band?
I'm going to guess the Ramones. The Stooges, one of those bands, like some punk band.
Which one?
The Ramones.
The Ramones, okay.
I'm taking a guess. I have no idea.
All right, Helen is taking note of your answers. We have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure. Helen, who do we have tonight?
Joining us tonight is a rock musician, composer, and producer whom you just heard playing keyboards on the most famous garage rock song of all time. It's Don Caverhill.
Don Caverhill, ladies and gentlemen. Come on out here, Don. Drew is Don here? Is right over there.
Oh, my God. Hi, man. How are you?
Don and Drew embracing warmly.
Wow.
So it wasn't a one take? Because that's the story.
No.
One take around one mic.
What about the F-bomb?
The word was fog.
Oh, interesting.
No.
Yeah, you really can't unhear it, can you?
Can I make this up?
Yeah. Don, we'll talk a little bit more about Louie Louie and your work on that in just a moment. But I want to let our audience in on your amazing career in music and in other things. You were instrumental in the birth of 3 rock genres, really. Garage rock, as we've discussed. Punk, which we'll get into from that 1970 album that you produced, and progressive rock, because you were the creative force behind the band Touch, the self-titled album that is considered to be the very first prog rock album.
Can I?
Jeff, of course, Drew, jump in.
The Kingsmen.
If only we had a way to edit that answer in, but we just don't have the technology. I'm sorry. GarageBand Rock. First of all, sometimes people use it as a way of insulting people for not having, you know, great technical skills or great technical equipment. Did you take a GarageBand Rock as an insult or a criticism?
I didn't know that they called it that. Now that I know what they call it, right?
Right.
It's just a bunch of guys that can't play trying.
Okay. You know? Very you know. Good. Yeah.
Own and, it.
Yeah.
Own it.
Were you literally playing in your garage before you guys went out and recorded?
The garage would have been good.
Okay. Okay. That would have been an upgrade.
That would have been
yeah,
great.
What did you guys have?
We're out in the backyard.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just you practice, and practice that's too strong.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But you looked at the people with garages, and you were like, oh, if we had walls.
No, that
yeah.
was...
Amazing. No,
that would be an upscale.
So we all know now that the band probably is called the Kingsmen. Tell us a little bit about... sorry, Drew. That's all right.
It's okay.
Tell us about how the Kingsmen got started and how you were involved and got to play the keyboard on that amazing song.
The really short version is we were playing at a teen nightclub. That was a new concept then, teenage nightclub. It was owned by a DJ, and in those days, a DJ could... do their own playlist.
Mm-hmm.
They said, if you guys could be recording artists, then I could say the Kingsmen recording artists.
Yeah.
So we went in to record a song. And Louie was well known up there then and mm-hmm. in Portland, Oregon. We recorded it, $50. And that's all in a jingle studio, you know, get your dry cleaning or buy an Oldsman.
Yeah.
Oldsman bill, that kind of thing. And it got released, and of course, it went nowhere. But then some guy found it and put a show together called The Worst Records Ever Made.
No!
And it was part of it. But another DJ back in Boston found it. He locked his control room in the studio and played it 3 hours straight.
No! In protest?
I mean, could I make this up? Obviously, he was... impaired. I don't know.
And you were the beneficiary of that impairment. That's amazing.
This is an epic story. Now, Drew thought that it was one take around one microphone. Was it around one microphone you recorded?
The first time we played it, the playback, we all blanched because we thought the singing was terrible. So the DJ's there producing it, and he says, you know, no one cares about the singing. They want the Louis. So we tell the engineer, turn down the vocal, turn up the music. The guy hated rock and roll. He said, you see where that dial is? That's where it's been. That's where it's going to stay. So he wouldn't turn it down. So we're in desperation. We tell the singer, back up for the microphone. So finally, the money's gone. We put it up in the air so he can't reach it. And that's how you got the room sound.
Tell us about why you didn't stay with the Kingsmen, because they went on tour and had some success and other hits after that.
I was a sophomore in high school. My folks, my voice hadn't dropped yet.
Yeah.
So
you had to stay home and do your homework.
I had to stay home and stay at school.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how you moved on to this other record that you ended up producing. You can reveal now what that record was.
Stooges Funhouse.
The Stooges Funhouse. The other choice, not the Ramones.
Yeah,
no.
It couldn't have been the Ramones because it was 1970. And the Stooges were my second answer.
Was a good call.
Yeah, no, it was in the ballpark.
I knew it was a punk band. Yeah.
You are still making music. You actually have an album that you released recently. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just, after a long hiatus, I wrote a few pieces and I wanted to record them, and so I released...
because you graduated high school.
Yeah.
And you can now.
Yeah. Tell us about this album. What's it called, and where can people
Light.
Find it? It's called Light. Excellent.
Yes. I wrote another one. It's got a little humor in it. It's called Capital Gains.
Okay. Excellent. Well, people can
look for
that.
About the IRS.
All right.
You'll love it.
Well, people can look for... All right, well, let's get to the reason we brought you here as far as our game is concerned. You heard the questions that we asked of Drew. First of all, we wanted to know, what was the name of that song we just heard, which is the quintessential garage band rock song? Helen, what did Drew say?
Drew said Louie.
And Don?
Correct.
Correct for the point. Very good. Next, we wanted to know, what was the band that had that number two Billboard hit and went into the Grammy Hall of Fame with that recording? Helen, what did Drew say?
I mean, Drew eventually pulled the Kingsmen, but not till like an hour later.
And it was, of course,
The Kingsman.
The Kingsman, yes. I'm sorry, no point there.
Of course it was The Kingsman. I was just planking because I was nervous. So.
Yeah. And finally, we wanted to know, what other garage rock-influenced band did one of the members of this band produce a record for in 1970? Helen, what did Drew say?
Drew said the Ramones.
And Mr. Caverhill?
It was Iggy Pop, Stooges.
Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
I said the Ramones or the Stooges.
You
I'm going to go with the Ramones.
Yeah, you did.
By the way, Iggy and the Stooges actually released a version of Louie Louie on a record in 1976.
One of the best versions.
Yeah, great.
I didn't know that it was the most recorded song in history. Is that what you said?
The USC Marching Band has a version of Louie Louie.
Yeah. Oh, it's they played it in the Portland airport for background music. No, there's an international... Louie Louie Day.
That's right, yes, where they played over and over. There's albums that are just covers of Louie Louie over and over.
Did you guys know this?
One of my radio shows, I played 3 hours of Louie Louie covers.
There you go. We're so happy to have you here. Before we let our guest go, Drew, is there anything else you'd like to say or ask of our expert?
I'm so excited to meet you, man. This is exciting. And I'm thanking you for the clarification on the name of your band.
Fog.
It was so wonderful that you joined us. People want to find out more about you or what you're up to, Don. Where can they do that?
I've told them you can pull up a lot of things on the internet.
Okay, pull them up on the internet. Thanks so much for joining us. We're happy that you pulled up to our show. Don Caverhill of the Kingsmen. Thank you so much, Don. Don Caverhill, everybody. What is our score at the end of that round?
At the end of that round, Jessica Salgado has 4 points and Drew Carey has 10 points.
All right. It is now time for our final round we call Fast Facts. I'll read 10 statements and each contestant will answer with true or false. I'll start with Jessica and alternate between each guest. Each correct answer is worth 1 point. And you may notice a subtle theme based on tonight's location. Again, the answer to each statement is true or false. Here we begin. Jessica, we are currently in the Crawford Family Forum.
True. Correct.
Drew, the Crawford Family Forum is named after supermodel Cindy Crawford.
False.
Correct.
Jessica, the Crawford Family Forum is named after San Francisco Giants shortstop Brandon Crawford.
I'll just say true.
Incorrect.
No, I'm terribly sorry. Drew, the Crawford Family Forum is named after philanthropist Gordy and Donna Crawford.
True.
Correct.
Jessica, Gordy Crawford was a successful software engineer.
True.
Incorrect.
Drew, Gordy Crawford was a successful book publisher.
True.
Incorrect.
Jessica, Gordy Crawford was a successful investment manager.
True.
Correct.
There we are, yes. Over $1 trillion in assets at one time. Drew, Gordy Crawford has one of the world's largest collections of Olympics memorabilia.
With that kind of money, sure, true.
Correct.
Jessica, Gordy Crawford's collection includes an actual Olympic gold medal.
True.
Correct.
Drew, Gordy Crawford's collection includes an actual Olympic torch.
True.
Correct.
Jessica, Gordy Crawford's collection includes an actual Olympic gymnast.
I'm going to say false, but it might be true.
Yeah. No, you were correct.
Yeah. Drew, I want to be very clear that I am not implying that the major contributors to this venue owned a gymnast.
False.
Incorrect.
Jessica, and that we appreciate the amazing contributions of the Crawford family.
True.
Yes, thank you so much. Let's give a nice hand to Drew Carey and Jessica Salgado as Helen tabulates the final score. Helen, are you ready to announce the winner on today's show?
I am at the end of the game. Jessica Salgado has 7 points and Drew Carey has 14 points.
Congratulations, Drew Carey. You are the facting champion on Go Fact Yourself. Drew, what will you do with your championship?
I'm going to donate it to the Crawford family.
Oh, isn't that lovely? All is forgiven. I hope. I really, really hope. All right, we're going to wrap up by giving everyone here a chance to promote or mention anything that they have upcoming. Jessica Salgado, where can people find you and what you're up to?
Hi, so I'm Jessica Salgado, and you can find me on anywhere on the internet. Google me. I think everybody said that today.
I think so, yeah.
But also, I am going to celebrate the 5th anniversary of my first book, Corazon, November 6th at Dynasty Typewriter, along with the beautiful musician, Sanchez. So keep an eye out for that, and I hope to see you there.
Excellent. We're so happy we saw you here, Jessica Salgado. Drew Carey, where can people find what you're up to?
Besides Price is Right and the Friday Night Freakout, I'm studying to be a docent at the Louie Louie Museum in Portland, Oregon.
I understand that they're underwritten by a grant from the Crawford Family Foundation.
Yes.
Bad news for you, Drew.
Yes.
Wonderful that you joined us, Drew Carey, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, my hosting partner is Helen Hong. She's right here.
I'm opening up for the Kingsman. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I have a comedy special out right now called Well Hong. Well Hong. You can find it on every streaming platform except Netflix. And follow me on the socials at Funny Helen Hong. You know why? Because that other woman named Helen Hong, she's not funny.
She's not funny, but she is funny. She is Helen. She is Hong. Helen Hong. And me, you can find me on Twitter at @J_Keith or on Instagram at jkeith.net, all spelled out. That just leaves me to thank Jessica Salgado, Drew Carey, Miranda Garrison, Don Caverhill, everybody here at KPCC's Crawford Family Forum, and thank you for listening and supporting our show at MaximumFun.org. I'm J. Keith Van Stratton. Good night! See us live. It's happening again. Go to GoFactorPod.com for our schedule and tickets. Meanwhile, please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, all at GoFactorPod. Update our wiki at GoFactorWiki.fandom.com and buy our T-shaped shirt at MaxFunStore.com. And give us a great review on your favorite podcast platform, like QuirkyQuirk13 did on Apple Podcasts. He, she, or they said, "I laughed and clapped and smiled along with your live audience. It made my day." Thanks, QuirkyQuirk13, and thank you, live audience. Helen?
Go Fact Yourself is a panel quiz program devised and produced by Jim Newman and J. Keith Van Stratton and comes to you via transcription from KPCC's Crawford Family Forum in Pasadena, California. Questions were compiled by the Trivia Industrial Complex. We are produced in collaboration with Maximum Fun. Maximum Fun senior producer and general all-around hero is Laura Swisher. Associate producer and editor is Julian Burrell. Our theme song and incidental music were written and performed by Jonathan Green. Research assistance provided by Adam Nediff. Quiz assistance provided by Clint Tauscher and Brian Phillips. Promotional graphics by Eric Tran. Our live show photographer is Christine Velada. Our stage manager is Dave Bianchi. Special thanks to Jane Brucker, Audrey Palmieri, and Christina Papadopoulos at Initiative PR, Monica Virgen Zamora, Alec Palau at Ace Records, Mike Stacks of Ugly Things Magazine, Chris Bishop of GarageHangover.com, Sarah Rodenbaugh, and Robin Randall, composer of the original Dirty Dancing theme song, whose CD collection, Holly Ridgeland, can be found wherever you buy CDs. For KPCC, John Cohn, executive director, Rebecca Stummy, events producer, Tony Federico, technical director, Kristen Payne, audience services and events manager, and Federico Garcia Rodriguez, audio engineer. I've been Helen Hong!
Let's go listen to Lou and Louie!
And watch Dirty Dancing! Woo!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.